guys win, so we have LAH have joined us remotely, and Jessica Gary, Executive Director. Ms. Gary, please call the roll.
Senator Bishop.
Your line is unmuted.
Senator Bishop.
Here.
Senator Klayman.
Here.
Senator Hoffman. Senator Keel.
Here.
Senator Olson.
Here.
Senator Olson.
Here.
Senator Stedman. Senate President Stevens.
Here.
Representative Edgman. Representative Hannon.
Here.
Representative Johnson.
Here.
Representative Rauscher. Representative Sadler.
Here.
Speaker Tilton.
Here.
Vice Chair McCabe.
Here.
Chair Gray Jackson.
Honored to be here.
12 members present.
Thank you, Jessica. We're now on agenda item number 2, approval of the agenda. Mr. Vice Chair, may I have a motion for the approval of the agenda?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council approve the agenda as presented.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, the agenda is approved. We're now at agenda item number 3, approval of minutes. Representative McKay, may I have a motion for approval of the minutes?
I move that Legislative Council approve the minutes of the November 17, 2023 meeting as presented.
Is there any discussion or objection to the minutes? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. We are now at agenda item number 4, committee business executive session. The council will now be going into executive session. The council will now be going into executive session to discuss a special audit of the Department of Law pending on contracts related to Janus, to consider a contract for the Terry Miller Building HVAC control system, and to discuss office space in Anchorage related to the Office of Victims' Rights. We'll also have a brief discussion about the Assembly Building Park. Representative McCabe, may I have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B1, discussion of matters, the immediate knowledge of which would adversely affect the finances of the government unit, and 22B3, discussion of a matter that may by law be required to be confidential. The following individuals may remain in the room or online during the executive session: Jessica Geary, Megan Wallace, Emily Nauman, Marie Marks, Hillary Martin, Sante Lesh, J.C. Kestel, Ernest Daigle, Molly Kiesel, Serge Lesh, Dottie Shook, Shay Wilson, Chris Curtis, Shane Hooten, and Dylan Bradley, any legislators not on Legislative Council, and any staff of Ledge Council members.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Ms. Gary, please call the roll.
Senator Bishop.
Present.
Was that a yay?
Yes, I'm here.
Senator Klayman.
Yes.
Thank you. Senator Klayman.
Yes.
Senator Keel.
Yes.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senate President Stevens.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Present.
Thank you. Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yeah.
Representative Sadler.
Yeah.
Speaker Tilton.
Yes.
Vice Chair McCabe.
Yes.
Chair Gray Jackson.
Yes.
12 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. Brief at ease. We're now back on the record. Ms. Gary, please call the roll to reestablish that there is a quorum.
Senator Bishop.
Here.
Senator Klayman.
Here.
Senator Hoffman. Senator Keel.
Here.
Senator Olson.
Here.
Senator Stedman. Senate President Stevens.
Here.
Representative Edgman.
Here.
Representative Hannon.
Here.
Representative Johnson.
Here.
Representative Sadler.
Here.
Speaker Tilton.
Here.
Vice Chair McCabe.
Here.
Chair Gray Jackson.
Honored to be here.
12 members present.
And this is Senator Hoffman. I was on mute.
13 members present.
Thank you. With the quorum to conduct business, we will proceed with the rest of the agenda. But for the record, we were joined by Representative Edgman at about 1:15 p.m., and Senator Hoffman joined us at the beginning of the executive session. So, okay, legal update regarding a special audit of the Department of Law spending on contracts related to Janus. Rep. McCabe, may I have a motion, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council, under the authority of AS 24.20.0604F, authorize a contract for legal services not to exceed $100,000 to undertake litigation on behalf of the legislature regarding matters described in a special audit of the Department of Law spending on contracts related to Janus, dated May 19, 2023. I further move that Leg Council authorize the chair to give direction to Legislative Legal Services and outside legal counsel regarding the litigation.
Thank you. I'll object for the purpose of discussion, and I'd like to ask Chris Curtis, Legislative Auditor, to summarize the issue, and then Megan Wallace, Legislative Legal, shall also be available for questions. Please proceed. Thank you.
My name is Chris Curtis. I'm the State Legislative Auditor. So Legislative Audit was requested to do an audit on the Department of Law spending on contracts related to Janus. That audit was released last month. It is available for the public on our website. To my understanding, I'm going to quickly go over and give you a 30,000-foot overview of the audit's conclusions and the recommendations. So this audit was directed to identify all contracts entered into by the Department of Law for Janus-related services, report on the services provided under the contract, as well as the amount expended. And we were asked to determine whether spending for Janus-related services violated state law. The audit's opinions on whether the legislative restrictive civil divisions and appropriations were legally constructed and whether laws' expenditures on matters related to Janus were allowable per state law are based on an evaluation of opposing legal arguments. One legal argument made by Legislative Legal, which is the Division of Legislative Legal Services within the legislature, and one argument made by the Attorney General. Now, the basis for the audit's opinion are included in the audit report. However, a final legal determination can only be made by the appropriate court. With that being said, it is my opinion that the legislature, through constructing the Department of Law's FY21 and FY22 civil division appropriations with specific limitations, legally restricted the Department of Law's ability to contract with outside counsel for Janus-related matters. In other words, I believe Legislative Legal arguments were stronger, that the appropriations were not a violation of the Constitution's confinement clause or an improper encroachment of the separation of powers. I also concluded that Department of Law's decision to pay outside counsel for services related to Janus from an appropriation that expressly prohibited those expenditures likely violated state law. Further, the audit concludes that the appropriation language that limited expenditure on specific legal cases was perceived by some as a legislative attempt to inappropriately influence the Attorney General's actions, and as such, it increases the risk of litigation. We do have one recommendation, and that recommendation is that I recommend the legislature consider whether judicial review and or ratification is necessary. Given that the audit concluded that the civil division's restrictive appropriations were likely legally constructed, and the Department of Law disregarded the legislative's restrictions, the legislature should consider whether judicial review is necessary. And then the recommendation goes on and says that given that the audit concluded that the related expenditures were likely unauthorized, I recommend the legislature consider ratifying the expenditures, which would put on record that the legislature considers those expenditures as unauthorized. And as I understand it, those two options are mutually exclusive. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'd like to be on the record, or I'd like to go on the record and voice my objection to motion that I just made. I don't think that we should be spending the money. This whole thing centers around money, apparently. I think we all know that it's politically driven, but I don't think we should be spending the money to do this when the easier path forward is to just ratify what the Attorney General has done and maybe send a letter or make a resolution or whatever and say to him, hey, look, we considered suing you. We're not going to do it, but don't do this again. I think we're going immediately to general quarters, and we're going to fire all the big guns right now and spend a lot of money doing it. And frankly, I think it's just the wrong we're using a sledgehammer to do what we could do with a scalpel. So that's kind of where I'm at, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Representative McCabe. Any other questions or discussion, Senator Stevens?
I appreciate the comments that have been made, but I think it's really important, even though I know it's costly, it's really important to protect the appropriating power that's here, and that's our job. We need to protect keep control of the spending in the state. That's our job. But I would have a question of Ms. Curtis. In the motion, it says $100,000. Most likely, it could be more than that. And then if it goes to the Supreme Court, it could be double that, right? So maybe you'd help us understand the cost of this litigation.
Certainly, through the chair. I believe we also have Megan Wallace online, who is a representative from the legislative legal, who has the direct experience on that, and I may defer that question to her.
Thank you.
Wallace, legal services, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Senator Stevens, through the chair, the motion before you is for a contract not to exceed $100,000. As you noted, there is certainly the potential that this matter could cost more than that, particularly if the matter is appealed to the Alaska Supreme Court. And so if council approves this motion, I think the council should just be on notice that there is likely to be a need to come back and ask for additional funds once if the motion is approved and a suit is undertaken, see how that litigation progresses and what the financial needs for outside counsel are as that matter progresses. But in general, in my experience, matters generally cost between $100,000 and $150,000 to litigate at the Superior Court level, and then another $100,000 to $150,000 at the Supreme Court level. When we're talking about these purely legal, constitutional matters that arise out of disagreements between the different branches of government.
Thank you. I appreciate that information. I think it's important to enter this eyes wide open, and it's an important principle that I think we're upholding here, and just the knowledge that it could be more expensive than what the motion would appear to state at $100,000. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Thank you, Megan.
Ms. Wallace, I guess since this is a constitutional issue, what's the chances that it'll just go to summary judgment and get a decision right away?
And through the chair, the likelihood that this matter goes directly to summary judgment is barely likely. This is not a matter where the facts will be will likely be disputed between the parties. The audit is very comprehensive. I mean, there's a record of what dollars were spent, what contracts were. And so the parties are unlikely to dispute matters of fact. And so these will be purely legal constitutional issues that are briefed on summary judgment to the court. And the parties will have to decide whether or not this is a matter that we request to be expedited. If the matter is expedited, there's a potential the parties could ask for a decision before the end of session. Otherwise, the matter would be briefed on summary judgment and, you know, based on a scheduling order entered by the court. And in general, if a matter is not expedited, 6 months to a year after case is initiated, might you get that order. But it's a little difficult to predict the exact time.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Thank you, Megan. Any other comments or discussion?
Madam Chair, Senator Keel. Madam Chair, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the motion, and I'm going to support it. I read the audit, and I think it was extremely thorough. I want to just stress that this is not anything I would think of as an angry lawsuit. This is one of those situations where the legislature and the governor just have a difference of opinion on where the constitutional line is, and we need to submit it to the third branch of government, whose job it is to decide those. And that's happened before. We know, I think about this summer, there was a governor in another state who did what they called a Vanna White veto, where he picked certain letters and lines. And as a result, I think there's a lawsuit about whether they're going to have 400 years of education funding increases. We know you can't do that in Alaska with the governor's veto because of a lawsuit named Legislative Council versus Knowles, where this body, different members, sued a governor I liked and worked for, and the Alaska Supreme Court made some rulings about what's in bounds and what's out of bounds. We have with this issue found another point of dispute, and I think it's perfectly appropriate to take the good faith opinions of legislative legal services and outside counsel hired by the auditor and the good faith opinions of the attorney general and send them to the courts to get a ruling on what the Constitution does or doesn't allow. Not because anybody's being awful or trying to cheat, but because we have a genuine dispute between the branches. So I support the motion.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Any other discussion? Representative Richmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've given this a lot of thought and listened to discussion, read it through as much of the audit as I could in front of me. I think it's really important, Chair. Extremely important. Having been in the legislature during the previous battle that we had with the executive branch for reform funding of education, powers of the corporation, not being a lawyer, I know enough to know there's ambiguity between what's constitutionally permissible for the legislature in terms of corporation powers, and that precedence is pretty important in terms of what can happen, not just with the current governor's administration, but future governors, future administrations, and so forth. And one power that we have that I think should be unassailable, inalienable, whatever the fancy word might be, should be our power to appropriate. And I look at the three sort of options we have here: do nothing, wait for a future budget action to take place that have some unpredictability tied to it, because require the House and the Senate, and I presume the governor couldn't veto that either. What if the governor vetoed? I don't know if that question would even come forward. I just sort of popped in my brain. If the legislature did take the route of ratifying it, could the governor then veto that? Can I ask a question in the middle of my own sort of closing comments?
You certainly can.
might we get Ms. Wallace to sort of opine on that?
Ms. Wallace?
And through the chair. And so some of the case law that we have on appropriations, as Senator Keel noted, is an old case that kind of attempts to look at what items are eligible for the governor to veto. And we know that the governor cannot strike words to achieve a different purpose. And the governor can only veto an appropriation, which is a sum of money for a particular purpose. And this ratification appropriation alternative that we've discussed would be an appropriation item that's ratifying expenditures that have already taken place. And so, in my opinion, it would not be eligible for veto, but we might find ourselves in another dispute if the governor or the attorney general had a different opinion on that.
Thank you, Ms. Wallace. Representative Edmund?
Right. So, thank you. Thank you for that clarification. So, you know, the question comes down to how do we protect our right to appropriate? That's the central question. The underlying issue in the Janus decision is that's separate in this matter. And I worry about what future governors can do, future you know, attempts to sort of take advantage of you know, sort of the wiggle room, whether it's an appropriation or allocation, whatever it might be. And then I think about the cost of doing this. That's not insignificant. Several hundred thousand dollars potentially. But then I also think about state of defense and how many millions we have spent. State of defense, $5 million last year. The governor was asking $2 million. This proposed budget, there were $6 million in the coffers before that, as I understood that. Every governor has asked millions of dollars to protect the last in terms of state of defense. And some of that is politically driven, too. Some of that defense is not reflected in the world legislature. And it goes both ways. So I don't see any way that I couldn't support this. I have to support it.
Thank you, Representative. Representative McKay.
Thank you for the indulgence of one more bite at the apple, Madam Chair. So my question is to everybody, I guess, what if we're wrong? The judge rules against us. What happens then to our legislative power of appropriation? I mean, we all seem so certain, based on a couple of opinions and an audit, that the judge is going to rule in our favor and say, yes, legislature, you have the power of the purse, and what the Attorney General did was wrong. What if the judge doesn't say that? What if the Supreme Court doesn't say that? Now, haven't we given up some of the power that we have? No, thanks.
Thank you, Representative. Senator Clayman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just briefly note, several years ago, I had the privilege of hearing Chief Justice Roberts speak, and he talked about the typical case that appears before the U.S. Supreme Court, and he observed that almost all of them involve the separation of powers and questions of the powers of the three branches. This lawsuit is quintessentially a question about the powers of two of the branches, and I think it's a good lawsuit to bring to find out a better idea of the parameters of those powers.
Thank you, Senator. Any other comments or discussion? Anybody online has something you'd like to say before we move on? Okay, I remove my objection, and if there are no additional questions, Ms. Geary, please call the roll.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Clayman.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Keel.
Yes.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Senate President Stevens.
Yes.
Representative Edgman. Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Sadler.
Yes.
Speaker Tilton.
No.
Vice Chair McCabe.
No.
Chair Gray Jackson.
Yes.
10 yeas, 3 nays.
Thank you. We are now on agenda item 4A, approval of Terry Miller Building HVAC controls. Representative McKay, may I have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that Legislative Council approve award of Rec. 660 Terry, RFP 660 Terry Miller Building HVAC controls to Long Building Technologies Incorporated with a not to exceed contract value of $775,931.
Thank you. I will object for the purpose of discussion, and I'd like for Mr. Kestel to speak on this agenda item and take any questions. Mr. Kestel.
Thank you, Chair Jackson. This is J.C. Kestel, Procurement Officer for the Legislative Affairs Agency. Regarding RFP 664, Terry Miller HVAC Controls, the agency conducted RFP 664 to solicit qualified proposals for replacement of the Terry Miller Building's HVAC control system. The RFP closed, two offers were received. The Proposal Evaluation Committee evaluated the offers, and it was recommended that Long Building Technologies be awarded the contract for this RFP. I'm happy to answer any questions, and the PEC is present if you have any questions regarding the evaluation process.
Thank you, Mr. Kessler. Are there any questions? I remove my objection, and it seems like there's no additional questions. Ms. Gary, please call the roll.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Klayman.
Yes.
Senator Klayman.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman. Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Keel.
Yes.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Senate President Stevens.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Johnson. Representative Sadler.
Yeah.
Speaker Tilton.
Yes.
Vice Chair McCabe.
Yes.
Chair Gray Jackson.
Yes.
12 yeas, 0 nays.
If there's no objection, we're going to skip item 5A, print shop policy and consultation with Representative Johnson's office, as well as item 4B, RFP 664, lease of office space and acres. If there's no objection, we're going to skip that. Okay, we are at agenda item 5B, internet photo requirement. Mr. Stepp, please distribute the revised document to members, which has two minor changes, and this is going to be the document before council for consideration. Mr. Vice Chair, may I have a motion?
I move Legislative Council approve the intranet photo policy as presented.
Thank you. I'll object for the purpose of discussion, and I'd like for Ms. Gary to speak to this item and take any questions. Please proceed, Ms. Gary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director of Legislative Affairs Agency, and before you is the intranet photo policy. It was distributed in your packets. For those of you who are not in the room in Anchorage, the two changes that are being passed out are very minor. It's changing media services to just LAA in general. And the only, let's see, there's one other change, which is to have media services basically accept the photo before posting it, which they do already, but just to ensure that the photo that's placed on the internet is a photo where we can clearly see the individual's face. So this item is before you today because of initial request from the security subcommittee and the chief of security, Ramey Vinson. This started as a different sort of proposal, and it has morphed into this simple security measure that we could take to require staff to have their photos, staff and interns to have their photos on the internet so they can be easily identified by security, as there are new staff all the time, and sometimes it's hard to know who is who. So it's a simple policy. If the staff doesn't go and get their photo taken within a certain amount of time, they will get their key card taken away. So it's five days of employment or session start, whichever is earlier. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. I guess one other thing, sorry, before I move on. There's also the ability to submit a photo that's recent within 3 years if you don't want your photo taken by LAA staff.
Thank you, Ms. Gary. Any questions?
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Klayman.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Keel.
Yes.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Senate President Stevens.
Yes.
Representative Edgeman. Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yeah.
Representative Sadler.
Yeah.
Speaker Tilton.
Yes.
Vice Chair McCabe.
Yes.
Chair Gray Jackson.
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. We are now at agenda item LRA Van Purchase. Representative McCabe, may I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move that the Legislative Council authorize Legislative Affairs to purchase a new van under the State of Alaska contract with Kendall Ford of Alaska of Anchorage with a not-to-exceed purchase limit of $55,000.
Thank you. I'll object for the purpose of discussion, and I'd like Mr. Castro to speak on this item and take any questions. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Jackson. Chair Gray Jackson, this is Jason Kessel, Procurement Officer of Legislative Affairs Agency. Addressing the new LAA vehicle replacement, as you can see in the memo provided, LAA is in need to replace a 17-year-old van that is currently used for day-to-day operations here in Juneau. LAA conducted a simple RFQ to seek quotes from various dealerships throughout the state and out of state as well, and the outcome is shown in the memo there with Kendall Ford of Anchorage, who is also the State of Alaska contracted dealer for the state equipment fleet, was the lowest quoted price, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, I remove my objection. Ms. Gary, please call the roll.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Klayman.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman. Senator Keel.
Yes.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Senate President Stevens.
Yes.
Representative Edgeman.
Yes.
Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Sadler.
Yes.
Speaker Tilton.
Yes.
Vice Chair McCabe.
Yes.
Chair Gray Jackson.
Yes.
12 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. We are now on agenda item 5D, semicolon update. I've asked Ms. Gary to give the council an update on construction, property management, and timeline for the Assembly Gold Apartment, as well as answer any questions that any members may have. Please go ahead, Ms. Gary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director. I'm happy to report that the project's on time and on budget. There's projected to be additional savings at the end of the project, which could be used for exterior work next interim. Among other things, the building has some concrete windowsills that are in poor shape, and the exterior of the building needs to be repainted. Capital Office Supply is moving in and installing furniture. Blinds have been installed on the third floor, and they'll continue down to the second and then the first floor. LAA has been busy moving other furnishings and artwork over to the building. Juno Real Estate has been contacting tenants and offering apartments. There are 9 legislators and 20 staff that are being offered an apartment. We've had several drop off the list, and now we have 4 open apartments, and I don't think we'll have a problem filling them. And the move-in is slated to begin on January 9th because the project's to be completed with final inspection taking place on January 8th. And with that, I am happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from anybody? I just want to thank you and the rest of the LIA staff for all the work that went into making sure that things worked out the way we anticipated. Thank you. We are now on agenda item 6, adjournment. Do any members have any comments before we adjourn? Representative Edgman.
Yes, just for the good of the order, I want to thank LAA and its IT shop for helping steer us through this change and legislative addresses and security and all that stuff. But I just wanted to put out there in the future, if there's a way to do it that's a little less, not as difficult. A number of us spend a lot of time on the phone trying to get this the work, and it's one of those "it is what it is" kind of thing, because it's inherently difficult. But if in the future if there's a way to do it that does require having to spend an hour on the phone or something, I would really appreciate it. But I say that with a nod for again the great work that LAA does, but also to recognize that they put a number of us in a position where we couldn't access our emails for days. And so I just wanted to put that up. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments before I make the comments? Okay. I just want to, as usual, thank the Legislative Council for always making it a priority to attend our meetings, whether it's in person or online. And I want to thank Senator Stedman for he's an alternative for being here this afternoon. And I also want to thank all the staff, LIA, Anchorage LIO, the auditors, the attorneys, and everybody. I hope I'm not missing anybody. And lastly, I want to thank Jeff for always making sure that I have my act together for these meetings. So thank you. With that said, there's no further issues to come before us. That's the meeting. Enjoy the 308.